Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge, and I'm joined today by the lovely Lindsay Kendrick and her lovelier husband, Brandon Kendrick.
Hey, baby.
Hey, how you doing? It's a good thing we're on the opposite side of this table because some horrible, not G-rated things might be happening right now. But we are here today. It's December. This is, first of all, ridiculous that it's December, but we're moving into the holiday season. So we figured why not reflect that a little bit with a holiday movie. So we're going to watch something that I haven't seen for once. And that is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Woo!
That's right. I haven't seen. I can hear people gasping all over the world. I feel like whenever I tell people I haven't seen this movie, they're like, "Are you kidding me? It's a classic." But I've never seen it. So I know you two love this movie.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, so tell me, give me a little bit, Lindsay. Tell me a little bit of your relationship with Christmas Vacation.
Okay. Well, I've seen this more than I've seen any of the vacation movies. Partially because when I was younger, it's what I was exposed to the most. But as I've gotten older, just by choice, it's my favorite vacation movie. It's not that it's necessarily better than the first one, but I think it just has a little bit more, a little tiny bit more heart. It's got that mean-spiritedness that all the vacation movies have,
right.
But it still has, like, it makes you feel so warm and fuzzy at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, without
it's a bit more sentimental than the other ones.
It really is, and I mean, I feel like it has to be because it's about Christmas.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's my favorite, and it has my favorite casting of the children.
Yes,
by far, I love these two kids
more than Anthony Michael Hall. Really?
Yes.
Absolutely. But Anthony Michael Hall grew up to be completely not Anthony Michael Hall. Yeah. It's kind of terrifying. But Brandon, what about you?
For me, Lindsay and I started dating in 2009, and I think we've made a point to watch this every year.
Had you seen it beforehand,
Christmas.
Or did she introduce it?
Okay. I had definitely seen it beforehand, so now we're at, what is this, 2016? We're at 7 years of watching this together, and I'd seen it before, but it wasn't like at the top of my vacation list. I was really kind of like tied to Vegas Vacation.
Okay.
Because that was the one that came out when I was like old enough to watch it. All of the rest came out before, way before, obviously. But I watched the original Vacation a lot with my dad. I saw European Vacation a little bit. And definitely the
it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's the
that
weakest
was the
of the four.
That was the first sequel, I think. European
Correct.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation, and then Vegas Vacation,
and then Vacation the With remake, which we all love.
Oh gosh, Chevy Chase, bless his heart, I love him to death, but his bit. Did you see the new Vacation
no
movie?
But please by all means spoil it for me. And if you really want to see that movie, first of all, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast because I don't want to be your friend. That's not true. But second, we're about to spoil a bit piece
a little bit. Okay, so I mean, he has a cameo, and it's just a small part,
which I guess isn't really a spoiler. I guess we could have expected
it's he just doesn't have like the life in him that he used to.
No.
It was nice seeing him, but there's just something missing. But he's just he's on top form in Christmas Vacation.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's just, I want him, and I know he can do better because in Community, he was so great before.
Even though he was an asshole on that
apparently he was not the
apparently
nicest.
Apparently he's kind of an asshole in general.
I just
seems.
Want
yeah.
him not to be, though. Like, I'm just like, no, let's pretend that's not true.
Well, it's great. I mean, these movies are kind of, the Vacation movies are like his film bread and butter.
Right.
Like, this is kind of his franchise. I have no history with this movie. I've never seen it. I love The First Vacation. That's the only Vacation movie I have actually seen, and I really enjoy it. I saw it, man, I must have been like 12 or 13, so it was like that perfect age to be like, oh my gosh, I'm watching like a movie that is for adults, and I feel so cool right now. But I was at the beach house with my cousins, and they put it on, and I was like, this is great. And I remember they would laugh at all the jokes I didn't understand. And I remember someday I would think to myself, like, someday I'll understand what this joke means and I'll be just as cool as my cousins are.
I think that's kind of how I was with Vegas Vacation around that same age when it came out. And now, though, I will say, just because I didn't get this in there earlier, Christmas Vacation is my favorite.
It is your favorite. OK. But
now it is. Yeah. Well, for the same reasons Lindsay said.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when I see it, it's like it makes me think of my family, not because of what they. Well, there's a little bit of similarity, but it's because I watched it every year growing up, and it's almost a certainty that when Brandon and I go to see my family over Christmas, we'll probably be watching it again, because we watch it and we will quote the movie together. That's like, so it makes me, I have that connection with it too. I don't think it's tainting my unbiased side too much, but I mean, that is definitely a part of the reason why.
Got history with it, which always helps. I'm nervous, 'cause I'm like, I don't know how I feel right now, like, as far as how excited I am to watch this. I want to see this movie because people have talked about it, but I've also heard enough opinions. I've heard opinions from you, and I trust both of your opinions. I've also heard opinions from one of my good friends, John Mills, who is also on the Nerd Party on the Aggressive Negotiations podcast, which you should check out if you haven't already.
Plug.
And he's also on Words with Nerds with Craig Sorrell, which is also great. But he had a conversation with me where he watched it recently, and he was like, I do not like that movie. So I'm like almost nervous. I know.
Was that his first time?
That's wrong.
No, he'd seen it before, and he kind of had a similar situation where he enjoyed it, I think. Like, he'd seen it younger, and then he kind of watched it detached from that. He hadn't seen it for a few years. John's going to listen to this and be like, that's not what happened at all. But I'm making this up for John. This might not be true. This is what I think happened. But he watched it years later, kind of separated from like the hoopla of it. Like, oh, I'm watching it during Christmas. And he was like, it was not very good. So I'm nervous that because I don't have an attachment to this movie or the Vacation franchise, really, that I'm going to kind of be indifferent to.
Have
it.
You seen?
That was going to be my question. How much do you love the original Vacation?
And how recently have you seen that?
I haven't seen it. I think the last time I watched it was maybe in college, like 2009 or 10. It's been a little while, but I really love it. I remember really loving it. But that's about it. It was one of those things where I was like, do I need to see a sequel? Probably not. But again, people really love Christmas Vacation. They don't really talk about the other two that much.
Yeah.
But
I feel like if you like the original one, that you would like Christmas Vacation. I wouldn't know which one you would like better, but I feel like it's similar enough.
That's what a lot of people say. Yeah. They're like, oh, if you only see one, you have to see Christmas Vacation.
It's
so
similar, but it takes like the ideas, but it's kind of like its own unique thing.
Gotcha.
Right. And it doesn't feel like a sequel to me at all. It's there's similarities, but it's just a completely different story with just the same people. It doesn't feel like it's continuing off of anything.
Right.
They don't reference, hey, remember that time that we did this the last movie, or you know, last
yeah they're all
kind of
standalone things.
They could be, every single one of them can be completely standalone.
Do you think we need a Vacation cinematic universe? I'm hoping it was starring what's his name, who was in the new one,
Ed Helms.
Ed Helms,
but no.
Me, that'd be terrible. You know, I didn't see the movie, but it's terrible.
It actually, okay, I laughed. It actually was better than I was expecting it to be.
We had low expectations.
We enjoyed ourselves. It's not like fantastic, but it has its moments where it feels like Vacation.
I may check it out at some point. But all right, let's get into a little bit of fun facts about this movie. So first of all, this is fantastic. So it's Christmas Vacation, but this is apparently the only Vacation movie where they don't go anywhere. They just stay at home. So they're just chilling out at home.
Everybody comes to them.
Is it really a vacation? I don't know.
I mean, that's part of the stress, right?
Yeah. And so I'm a huge John Hughes fan. I love him so much. And he wrote, I'm pretty sure he wrote the three movies. He wrote Vacation. He wrote this one, and he wrote European Vacation. And he said Christmas Vacation, the only reason he wrote it was he had a story that it was based on, but he was kind of like, by that point, the franchise had kind of become like a Chevy Chase vehicle. So I didn't really have that much investment in it, which I think is so interesting. I like John Hughes a lot. May yes. he rest in peace. He's one of my favorite people. He also wrote Home Alone, which is another Christmas Same. Movie that we won't be watching on Missing Frames because every person on this planet should have seen that movie by now. I don't think I could find anyone who hasn't.
No.
Another fun fact, because this might, and this is a little hint of the movie we might be watching for our next episode, but their home in this movie is the same home that they used in Lethal Weapon, where Danny Glover's character was living. Hint, that might be our next episode. This was not planned at all, but when I was looking at facts about this movie, that's pretty fantastic. I feel like that's a sign that Lethal Weapon should be the next movie.
You know, and that's another franchise where I'm most familiar with the fourth one rather than, it, you know, like I,
that's
the
so
fourth one came out in around, I think, the late 90s, maybe early 2000s.
Yeah, 97, 98.
Yeah. And so it was like I was 12 around that age again. And it has like really nothing to do with the first one. And like the first one is obviously the best. It's actually by Shane Black. Who created the characters, but yeah, so that's another connection. The fourth one is the one that I grew up on.
So now it has to happen. And then I think that's, I mean, as far as my facts go, and then, oh, Holiday Road's not in this movie. The Holiday Road, that song that's in all the movies, it's not in this one.
I would sing, but I'm not going to subject you to that.
It's okay. And
there's a really good song, though, at the beginning.
Oh, there is. Okay, good. Well, as long as there's a good song, that's all we need. Yep. There needs to be a good song. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't count. But there you go. All right. Well, I think we've covered this. So let's go ahead and watch Christmas Vacation. Excuse me. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And then we will regroup to discuss.
Excellent.
Now available to own on video cassette.
So while we're off watching the movie, let's take a moment here to talk about something pretty awesome. So look, we have a great deal for you going November 22nd to December 19th. If you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty and enter the code nerdparty, you will save on this awesome Loot Crate. So here's the deal. They offer an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. $20, that's like nothing. You can do that. That's your grandpa's birthday money that he gives you. You can just throw that to Loot Crate, and you can get all this great stuff. And this crate we're offering, it's time for a revolution. Fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and an exclusive Funko Pop figure. Also, our monthly t-shirt and pen. This is fantastic. So, again, go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter the code NERDPARTY, and you will save on this Loot Crate. Just get to it. There's no reason not to. Okay, we're back. We just watched the movie. So, yes. What did I think?
What did you think?
What did you think?
I actually very much enjoyed it, which I Excellent. Was kind Good. Of, I was not expecting at all. I was very nervous that I was going to be, that I wasn't going to find it funny, that I was going to be kind of indifferent to it, but I actually enjoyed it. I didn't love it. I think the original Vacation is still my favorite, but yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It is a fun Christmas movie. I can get the appeal of it, and I can get why people come back to it year after year.
It's a good thing you feel that way, because I might have to hold Lindsay back.
I know. There was this moment. But no, it was actually surprisingly funny. I don't know if I'm the biggest Chevy Chase fan in the world, but this is like definitely him, like right around the height of his power, where he was still doing like really quality stuff before. So there's like there's the 80s movies he did, and then there's the period between this and Community, where he was just kind of like, what is he doing with his career? But it was great to see him. I'm kind of iffy on like slapsticky humor, which this movie is full of. But for some reason, I just thought it was all great. Like him walking around the attic and stepping on all the planks, I thought was hysterical and all that stuff.
Sometimes it works. And I think why he makes it work, and why this is like, I think, top form Chevy Chase, is because he nails not only the slapstick humor, but the really, really subtle humor. Like one of my favorite parts in the whole movie is like not a big moment, but it's when he says that Santa is coming and he heard a report.
Yeah.
And the response to, like, "You serious, Clark?" And yeah. then he doesn't say anything, but his eyes just open slightly wider than they were a second before, and it always makes me giggle every single time, because it's like that subtle expression on his face that he has down.
Well, he's very good at, like, I mean, he's ridiculous, and all the things that are happening in these movies are pretty ridiculous, and he behaves so badly, but he plays the straight man so well that he's basically the straight man, but he's also like the comic foil, which is like, a lot of times the straight man will be like, you have Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and you have John Candy, who's obviously like, he's the funny guy, and Steve Martin's the straight man. Chevy Chase is basically both of those parts, both the crazy funny guy and the straight man, but he pulls off all the ridiculous funny stuff with that kind of straight man mentality that makes it that much funnier because of it.
Yeah.
And I think the way he plays that, like, every man, straight guy, straight character guy, that didn't really make any sense, but it's what makes the second half, when he kind of, or the last like quarter of the movie, when he kind of loses his mind,
right,
work even better.
Exactly.
Just his reaction. He finally stops holding it in and just like goes off on everybody and says what he's been wanting to say the whole time.
Right. So this is, we were talking about this as we were watching the movie, but you know, John Hughes wrote this. And this was released in 1989, like December 1989. And then I think the following year, 1990, was Home Alone, which John Hughes also wrote. So it's two Christmas movies, back-to-back, two big Christmas movies. I guess he was just on a roll and decided he'll keep doing that. But what's interesting about both these movies, and it's funny that you bring up the ending of this movie, I think both this and Home Alone are very similar in that they kind of unravel at the end, where they kind of have this very kind of not necessarily sincere, Home Alone more so than this movie, but it's kind of straight and sincere, and there are all these very like grounded problems, like, oh, the lights aren't working, oh, my Christmas bonus, I don't have that, oh, my all my family is coming into town and it's really ridiculous and awkward and we're gonna have to put everyone in the same house. And then it kind of unravels and becomes just ridiculous, where it's like, now everything's exploding and my weird brother-in-law is dumping his excrement into the like, just ridiculous.
Yeah. The cat
stuff.
I mean, it gets to the point, like, it's like in the first Vacation movie with the dog.
Yes.
Getting, which is actually pretty horrifying, but then you can't help but laugh. It's they do have that repeated thing with the cat and the cat getting,
I think that got the biggest laugh out of me. I don't know what it is. I love animals, but for some reason cats being like, cats exploding like in a comic fashion or getting like, and just to bring it back to Wes Anderson in the Grand Budapest Hotel, do I want to spoil this? I'm going to put up a spoiler tag for this, so just a fair warning, you might want to skip ahead if you haven't seen it, but when they toss the cat out the window,
yes.
Willem Dafoe tosses the cat, I laughed so hard in the theater that it was awkward, and like, Sarah, she just nudged me. She's like, what is wrong with you?
Well, that's
a similar
like
experience here.
With Boondock Saints to this day. Sure most people have seen Boondock Saints by now, but when Rocco slams his fist down on the table and the gun goes off and the cat explodes,
right,
like, I still die laughing.
I don't know why it's so funny to me, but like,
It's because cats are so reserved
are
and they're kind of like, they act like spoiled brats sometimes. So it's kind of like, you don't really want them to get hurt in real life, but it's fun to have that.
It's
like
fun
moment
to watch
of
them
like
explode.
Relief when they're, you know, they're not actually getting hurt. So
right.
It kind of is like, yes, you deserve that, you little asshole.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of like the other stuff I really liked about this. So so here's the thing. I'm such a big Anthony Michael Hall fan. I kind of missed him, and I don't remember the girl who played his sister in Vacation. I for some reason can't picture her in my mind, but Anthony Michael Hall is such a like particular personality that I almost missed him in this movie. And the kid who played Rusty?
Yes.
Rusty, he was very good and very sweet. I almost miss Anthony Michael Hall.
Guy that's in Big Bang Theory now, I think. Mm-hmm. Andrew Galecki,
yep.
Something like that.
I forgot about that because I don't watch Big Bang Theory.
Sorry to anybody that's listening.
Sorry, but
sorry. I think he is very different. One thing I do like is they don't try to have the kids play the same personality as they switch from movie to movie, because that would just be annoying and it wouldn't be believable. But they just kind of switch personalities.
Yeah.
I really like Juliette Lewis because she's like the perfect like annoyed teenager.
Right,
like,
just kind of the whole time like, ugh, dad.
Yeah, she's overdramatic, but at the right. same time with the situation she's in, you almost, like, you can sympathize with her.
Yeah.
And anyone who's had to share a bed with a sibling knows that it can be pretty awful.
Right. I don't know if it's just me, but did it feel like, it felt like the rest of the family, and I haven't seen Vacation in a year, so I don't know if this applies to that or the other Vacation movies, but it felt like this one almost shafted the rest of the family a little bit, where they were almost very background to Chevy Chase's antics, and, like, you know, Clark Griswold is the main guy doing everything, and they're kind of like, oh, Clark, what's going on? But it felt like the family wasn't as actively involved anymore, and maybe that's because in the original Vacation, it's like everyone's on the family trip and everyone is experiencing this, where this one is more like, it's Clark's thing, and Clark is doing this, and Clark is doing that, and the kids and the wife aren't that affected by it. Did you feel
that? I see what you mean. I never thought about it, but I'm okay with it either way, whether they're separate right. or not. But that is a distinct difference. Even when you go to Vegas Vacation, they each have their own separate adventure.
Yeah.
And it switches from person to person. This one is very centered on him, because I think they, mainly because he has, it's like his dream to have the perfect family Christmas, yeah. and the rest of them really can't be bothered. They all appreciate it in the end. But if they had their own way, they would go to Hawaii, mm-hmm. you know, like Rusty said, we should have gone to Hawaii. So I mean, I can see the reason why, but it is interesting because all the other ones are very different in that they all kind of go
right.
on their
own. They kind of have it a little bit at the beginning when they go and get the Christmas tree and they're like, Dad, what are we doing? And they're all walking out and they're driving in the car together. Right.
Which, did you like that callback to the first one when the car goes flying off the road?
Yes, I did. I honestly, like, there was a moment where I was like, what is this movie referencing? And then I was like, wait a second, this is in Vacation. But I liked it. What I liked about Vacation is, I mean, it is kind of ridiculous, and it does have that same kind of exaggerated sense of humor that this movie does, but I almost missed, like, the camaraderie of the family and how everything kind of came back to them kind of bonding with each other, which I kind of missed in this movie, but this movie had enough working in its favor that I really enjoyed it. But so is there a particular moment in this movie that is your personal favorite? Like, what's your favorite, like, standout moment in this movie that you always, like, when you first watched it or when, like, whatever it is that you, when you think of this movie, you're like, this is it, this is what I think about.
I have two tied moments, but you okay. go first.
Yeah, I think we probably have the same two. I mean, number one is when he has his meltdown, when Clark has his meltdown, yeah. and ends with, like, hallelujah, holy shit.
Yeah,
where's the Tylenol? Yeah. Like, that's obviously, like,
that was great.
That's one of the best moments in the movie. And then what's?
Well, I don't know. I have, like, that the meltdown part one and part two are kind of our one moment. So the second speech that he gives when he says, "We're gonna have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny K." And he screams that out, and then when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down the chimney,
yeah.
he'll find that speech, and then the squirrel.
The
squirrel is my other part, because the zoom in, the dramatic, like, really quick zoom in on the face when he's like, squirrel, like, I lose my mind inside every single time. I just lose it, because a squirrel outside, it seems outrageous, but it is completely relatable, because when you see a squirrel outside, you're like, whatever, it's a squirrel. But imagine that squirrel inside your house,
scampering around, causing mayhem.
Everyone would lose it. Everyone would just, like, freak out. It seems like it's an overreaction, but, like, if you imagined it happening, you know, that's, like, very similar to how it would go down.
Right. The squirrel scene. So that's another example of something where it's like the movie kind of shifts gears, and this doesn't, I mean, overall, I enjoyed the movie and it didn't really bother me that much, but it shifts gears between, like, sincere, like, where it's like, oh, it's a sweet conversation between him and his niece. And then all of a sudden there's a squirrel running around and everyone is, like, descending into chaos. It's like the movie is very, like, it's a lot of comic vignettes that almost don't feel connected to each other. It's very, like, sketchy in a way. Not sketchy, like edgy, but I mean, like, sketchy, like, it's very, like, each scene almost stands on its own as a separate thing. And there's not a lot of connective tissue except for the whole thing where he wants to get his Christmas bonus and he wants the whole family to enjoy this perfect Christmas that he has planned for them. But the squirrel is such a perfect example of why this movie is so funny, but almost to me why I don't enjoy it as much as Vacation, where it's like, why is there just, there's just a scene of a squirrel chasing everybody. What is going on? But it is, I mean, it's extremely funny.
Yeah, I can see that they could, that you could observe these as like mini shorts and it would work. I think what their purpose that they serve, other than just being like ridiculous and jolting you back into the comedy side of it, because they keep trying to balance the line between it being Christmas and it being like there being tender moments to it being like not super heartwarming. I think that it kind of builds up and accumulates. So it's like one thing after the other, and the events start off as small. You know, he's at the store and he has the awkward conversation with the woman, and then he's locked in the attic. And then every single event gets worse and worse until it's what like causes him to crack. Like it takes a while to get him to crack, but I think that they're like trying to build the ridiculousness on top of.
Did the squirrel happen before or after he had his freak out?
It was after the like meltdown part one. Okay. When he get, because the reason
that may have been why it felt out of place, because what you're saying makes sense. It's like it kind of builds to that. He has his explosion, and then it's like, and now a squirrel attacks everything, and it's like, oh, okay, great.
I think it's like a teaser, because like you think everything's okay, and then like it's not. Like
right.
You think that it's resolved, and a couple times you think that everything's okay. The second time, like he's reading the night before Christmas, and you think it's okay, and then it's not okay again, and then it's okay again. So it's like these teasers making you think the story is about to wrap up, and then it's like definitely not. So,
and it's just chaos.
Yes.
And I think that's probably why they're focused on Clark's character.
Yeah.
During this movie, it's kind of like building up that to that ridiculous end. Mm-hmm. And if you shift the focus away to focus on Ellen or Rusty or what's the daughter's name again? I'm blanking on that. Why are we all blanking on the daughter's name?
I just keep
name?
Saying Juliette Lewis. This is how unimportant...
Audrey.
Audrey, that's right.
It's how unimportant her character is. Really,
it is. Kind of I keep forgetting. Like,
blonde
she's,
girl, you know. I watch this literally every year, and it just I have to think for a second. To
that's
think
right.
Of
she, kind of, she definitely, out of the four family members, the main family members, the Griswolds, she definitely is the least... Like, she kind of fades into the background.
Yeah, in every single movie.
Yeah. Too. It's true. That's, yeah, that's
that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I think my favorite scene, I really liked the, I don't know, I thought the attic stuff was great. Everything in there with him watching the movies and crying and then just tripping on everything and slapping himself. I really liked the scene where he's going to buy jewelry for his wife and he hits on the hot woman and all his ridiculous talking and saying things that are inappropriate without meaning to. I thought that was great.
With the tripping up with the words, he like does that again at the very end when he says we needed a coffin.
Yes.
But it's like not even a smooth trip up like he did with like hooter, hotter. It's like right. Those words are similar, but he just says coffin.
Instead of tree. Like, and also, as we've seen Randy Quaid in the public eye in recent years,
yeah,
I'm becoming more and more convinced that he's just not acting.
Maybe he is. It's a new form of method acting where he just never stops.
I just think the Vacation movies and Independence Day, like that just insane,
and it's basically
crazy.
It's the same character almost.
It really is. I think like that character is just Randy Quaid.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, so Randy Quaid, just look him up. Check out what he's doing in this day and age.
I mean,
he kind of lost his mind.
Him and his wife, I think, got arrested for crossing into Canada like a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
like it's bad.
It's funny to watch him
get
in
well,
movie.
Randy.
I thought he was gonna annoy me. Like I'm not a big fan of the like, oh, I'm the country hick who is just sloppy and doesn't know anything and is really dumb. But he is so sincere in his performance that it was actually very funny. Now I'm starting to think maybe there was a little bit more to that.
That's why it's so sincere.
Exactly.
That's just Randy Quaid.
He was just building to that.
I think how he acts in real life is a lot more bizarre than even his most bizarre character. I know that's bad, but like hearing
him
talk, I feel terrible because I hope that like, you know, it's something that he gets help with because
yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know what happened. And did you notice though, back to the movie, did you notice his clothing and how it kind of fit very improperly?
Yes.
And one thing I didn't notice the first, I don't know, several years, I don't think I noticed this until maybe college. when they're in the store and he keeps putting dog food on the cart, his pants, and how he fits into them. You don't notice it because it's at the bottom of the screen, but it's so obvious. Once you find it, you'll never be able to look away.
And I think that's why the boss's wife said he was a great big bulging
that's
man.
That's right.
Yep, when she exactly. calls the police.
So thanks to Lindsay. Now, if you go back and watch this movie, that little bit of trivia, or not so little bit of trivia, you can go back and enjoy it. So watching this again, you watch this every year?
Yeah, just about. I can't think of a year when I haven't. I mean, there are a handful of movies that I watch every year. This is one of them because my family, my older sister especially, and I like to quote along with it. It's funny because I recently saw someone mention on social media that, it was kind of like in a smug way. It was like, is a Christmas Vacation still the darling of white baby boomer upper middle class people? And I'm like, we're not baby boomers. We're like, I think Gen Xers, maybe, like my older sister, and even millennials, like older millennials. More, my dad loves it, but I think that my older sister loves
it more. Right. I mean, people our age and like even younger than me love this movie. Like, I've heard about it. It's not just, I mean, my family didn't, this wasn't really part of our like Christmas watching marathon. It wasn't even in my mindset, but like so many of my friends who are my age, like they love this. So it's been kind of it's a cross-generational thing where it's kind of been passed down, but that is interesting that they would say that. I think a lot of people, this is one of those movies where you could make the argument for like, there's the nostalgic factor of it, which I get. Right. I think the movie works on its own enough. I think it's, even if you don't love it, I think it's funny enough that you can watch it and be like, oh, I enjoyed it. It doesn't really, a lot of people talk about movies like this and are like, oh, we still like that movie. Huh, it's overrated. but really, I wonder, I mean, what do you think that is? Why do you think people like go back to this and are either like kind of putting it down or
it happens like that? It happens with like especially Christmas movies. I want to say like the annual favorite target of like think pieces is like Love Actually.
Oh, Love Actually. And people tear it apart every single year. And I'm like, I get it. Then, you know, don't watch it. Like,
right. What do you think it is about Christmas movies? Do people just like hate holiday cheer?
They probably don't
joy.
Have any family and they're lonely and they're
hate,
sad.
Like, they hate squirrels. They hate squirrels. They hate all that. They hate Randy Quaid.
Just let people like what they like. Like, no one really is interested in the fact that you don't like something and you want to go on and on about it, especially every year if it's something that comes out every year. I mean, it happens to a lot of classics. People will go around and every time something's either re-released or playing on TV, they'll be like, The Wizard of Oz, that's, you know, who likes that? Right. If you look back, it's actually really terrible. And it just, like, I get that if it's not your favorite thing, if you realize it's not as great as you thought it was, that's kind of your thing, but let people like what they like.
Yeah, exactly. So this movie has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 64%. It's not beloved. I'm not 100% what the first vacation was. I think it's a little higher. I think it might be in the 80s or 90s. Do you think 64% is merited for this movie? Do you think it deserves to be higher? Do you think part of that low score is to do with what we're talking about, with like people saying, oh, it's an overrated piece of like nostalgia or whatever it is?
That's what I've kind of always wondered about the Rotten Tomatoes score for movies that came out pre-internet.
Lot of the times the amount of reviews they find, the numbers are smaller. So this movie probably has something like 20-30 reviews as opposed to like a movie that's released nowadays would have 200.
So like the New York Times or something posted from their archives.
Exactly.
And onto the
things like
internet.
That.
And
I know the movie, I mean, it had like a pretty mixed reception when it came out as far as the positive versus negatives. And it feels like this movie took on a very classic status. Like, I felt like I grew up and this was considered like, oh, it's a great Christmas movie. And then as I got older, I started to hear a little bit of backlash. Do you think that backlash is merited, or do you think people should be putting their energy into hating other more deserving movies that aren't as good as people think they are?
Definitely the second one.
Some people kind of just get off on being contrarian about things. Like, I'm not saying everybody, but I think maybe this movie had mixed reviews at first, but I think over time, especially as people rewatched it over and over, this is one of those movies that actually does better every time you rewatch it.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember how when the first time I watched it was, I couldn't say, but over time it just gets, it's one of those movies that gets increasingly funnier. Mm. Some movies lose their luster over time. They're just kind of like funny at first and then you get a little bit tired of them. But this one, I think people, the as they watched it year after year, they liked it better. And then it gets to a point, just like a lot of movies that are well liked, where people just like want to fight back on the popular opinion.
Right. And this movie has, I mean, it has a lot of just very solid moments that you associate with Christmas and the holidays that just work. Like just the chaos of it, the family coming over, the trying to make everything perfect. It gets a lot of those elements right. And to me, I wasn't really expecting it to. I was kind of expecting it to be way more slapsticky, which it is, but I was almost caught off guard by how genuine a lot of it felt and how like evocative of those feelings of this season. It managed to capture those really well. So is there anything, so watching it through the years and with this viewing we just did, is there anything you noticed this time around that you maybe appreciated more or appreciated less? Randy Quaid's bulge, maybe? I don't know.
Lindsay, you go ahead.
I'm trying to think right now. I know that there were just little touches that I noticed that Brandon and I both like looked at each other and I was like, how did I not notice that little thing? Every time I watch it, I'll see something else. Like, what was the one thing that where we like, I said something about like, I never noticed that. It was like something that somebody said. There's like little words that they sneak in here and there.
When his boss keeps changing his name.
Yeah, just ever so slightly.
You know, and it's so bizarre. I didn't hear the number of times he got his name wrong up until now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, every single time. I don't know why. I think I was just focused on other things because there's a lot going on, like visually even, just like that you're looking at.
Right.
To the very end, I didn't even realize that the dog comes up to him
during the credits
during the credits. I've watched this movie so many times and I never saw the damn dog coming up.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that makes it great for repeated viewings is that you see those little things, those little touches that make it funnier, like like the boss calling him different names every single time. It's like it's kind of mumbled a lot, so you don't even notice it, and then it continues with the courier that delivers his bonus. It's like Clark W. Grisman.
Oh, that Grisman was great too. And you know who else I loved the neighbors, Julie Louise Dreyfus, and then the other one, I don't know the actor's name. But I don't know why it's so funny to watch like two people who are just like, oh, our lives are so horrible. If only things wouldn't go wrong anymore, and then things just keep going wrong. Like the scene, it shouldn't have been as funny as it was, but the scene where the Christmas lights are going on and off and they're trying to have a romantic evening together and they just keep tripping and falling down things. I don't know why I found that so funny, but it's hysterical.
So, it's so over the top. And they're just like, everybody knows someone that's sort of like them to some degree because they're like pricks.
Right.
They're well off.
Yuppies.
They're really like, you know, this is too cliche. I don't want a tree. This is tacky.
Right.
We're going to go running together in our matching outfits like that. Those kind of people just like make you sick. So it's really, really fun. And they're jerks, too. So it's like, yeah, Clark is a huge headache and he does some pretty terrible things to their house.
He kind of destroys
it. So it's like I understand their pain, but I don't feel bad.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the humor in this movie, I feel like in another movie, if it wasn't handled as well, wouldn't have worked for me. But for some reason, like things like that, where it's like more, a lot of the humor is on the nose and very like in your face. Like, oh, these terrible, awful neighbors are getting their comeuppance and tripping and falling everywhere. I don't know why, but it just worked for me in this movie. I thought it was very well done. Like the humor was, even though I feel like it's a fine line to walk between really, really obvious and then really just kind of subtle humor, this movie actually pulled it off, which again I was not expecting. I was pleasantly surprised by.
Yeah, I mean, if Clark was my neighbor, I would have to, like, I would be constantly plotting ways to make life a living hell for him,
right?
Because he would be like the definition of the obnoxious neighbor. But I think you had to have the Margot and her husband there to make Clark the sympathetic one and make it so that you still like, you still want to root for him and you like associate with him.
Exactly. You're you're able to laugh at them because when terrible things happen to them, you're not like, oh, those poor people, because they're so horrible. You're
exactly.
like, you jerks, you deserve this. But so through the years, this movie, you feel like it still holds up?
Yep, definitely.
Yep, does for me. I mean, I wasn't surprised. I watch it every year. So
there you go. And I, as somebody who's never seen it before, was very pleasantly surprised. Hooray. I heard things all over the spectrum.
Good.
But I enjoyed it. So let's say, how many crazy squirrels on a scale of 1 to 5, how many crazy squirrels would you give it, Brandon?
I'm going to go with 4.5.
Okay.
You took mine. I was going to say 4.5 too.
I'd probably do 3.5. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it'll go down in the annals of my Christmas watching as like one of my movies, but I definitely enjoyed it way more than I thought it would. I thought it was very, very funny. It was very effective. Some of the stuff, like I said, like the kind of jumping back and forth between moods and like really slapstick and really sincere and kind of going all over the place kind of threw me off. But overall, I enjoyed it a lot. So,
and did you notice the Wally World eggnog?
Yes, I did. Okay. I saw that too. I was very happy about. I was very happy they called back to Vacation.
Yeah, it was like when I said, yeah, like it doesn't feel like a sequel, but they still respect the first one in that way.
Right.
To know that it wasn't erased.
What about the other two? Are those worth checking out?
There's so many other, you know, great things to watch that
there probably won't be a future Missing Frames episode for European Vacation or Vegas Vacation, is what you're telling me.
If we wanted to do like actual bad movies every now and then, we could do Vegas Vacation probably.
Okay. Well, I actually used to enjoy it when it was on TV, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. That's kind of what it was.
Also, on the subject of eggnog, I have never had eggnog in my life. Have you?
Oh, I have, and I'm not a fan.
Okay.
I haven't either. I've had just like eggnog flavored candy.
If I have it, I would prefer to have it in a, was it Wally World Moose Cup?
Yeah,
that's the way I'd prefer to drink my eggnog.
Okay.
If I were to have it again.
I wonder if they have to sell those, right?
I think I've seen
because
them
before. Because they sell shirts that are the... why is the carpet all wet, Todd? And the other shirt says, I don't know, Margot. I want those, so...
It's so good. Alrighty, well, there you go. I think we've pretty extensively covered National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Lindsay, Brandon, thank you both so much for being on this episode. And tell the wonderful people at home where they can find you on the Twitter.
I am on Twitter with the handle at bkendrick86. That's bkendrick86.
I'm at A Tiny Amazon with underscores between those words, and my name, just so you know it's the right one, is now Pocket Poinsettia.
Christmas.
Yay. And I'm at Yay Shondor Man. Find us, tell us, what do you think of Christmas Vacation? Do you like it? Do you think it's overrated? We want to hear about it. So let us know.
And your thoughts on eggnog.
Is it best in a Wally World Moose Cup? Because if it is, then you have to buy me one right now. And I will be forever grateful. But thank you again for tuning in. And if you like this, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, on whatever you're listening to. There's a rating system. Do it. It gives us a little boost. And be sure to check out all the wonderful shows on the Nerd Party. I know I'm plugging a lot, but really there's some great people doing some great things. Go to thenerdparty.com. Check it out. See what you like. And even if you don't like it, just give them 5-star ratings anyway. 5-star ratings for everybody. It's Christmas.
That's what I was going to say.
So there we go. So thank you for tuning in again. And have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Until next time.